Would you turn to Matthew 7 and verse 7? How's everybody tonight? Are you blessed and highly favored? Are you blessed and highly flavored? You're to be the salt of the world. See, salt is used to preserve. Yes. Matthew 7, 7. Would you read it with me, please? Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Let's read this again. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. This is a level of discipline, an area of three levels of discipline. And in this, it's an individual that, as he continues to ask, the word says, it will be given to you. But it doesn't say that's it. It says, how is it going to be given to you? Well, it's going to be placed in a door. It's going to be behind a door. Is everybody with me? There's a place. In other words, when you ask something of God, there's always a place that he brings you to. Or he shows you the path to go get it. And I'm not saying that he can't bring things to you also, but it doesn't manifest until something has happened, until you've gone through the process of ask, seek, and knock. You know, many people are trying to get to the place where it's at with just asking. But there's something in between. It's called seek. Seek. And in this, it's a disciplined area where you and I must seek. It's not just, oh, I'm going to write a letter to Santa Claus. God is not Santa Claus. God is God. And because he is God, he's faithful. But he does have requirements. He says, seek and you'll find me. Draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. So in this, there's this process of discipline that you and I must maintain in everything we do. And it's to ask, to seek, and to knock. You will never get to the place of the fullness that God has for you unless you are a seeker. Not a sneaker. A seeker. You can't sneak and get it. You can only seek and get it. So you know that if you're doing the right things, if you're one that's asking and seeking and knocking, you know that God's going to have it waiting for you or bring it to you or direct you and give you a path of what needs to be done. So you can't just jump over things. That's not discipline. So in this, the Lord is bringing us to a place, not only the area that we must be disciplined, but in the area that we are reaching a level of surrender like we've never done before. Reaching a level of surrender like we've never done before. Hallelujah. Would you go to verse 8? For everyone who asks what? Receives, and he who seeks does what? Finds, and to him who knocks, it will be what? Open. There's no skipping it, is there? It's a process. It's a disciplined process. And what man is there among you who, if he sees his son ask for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. In other words, okay, here it is now. Here's the parallel. There's an area of obedience. Whatever you want someone to do to you, hello, you do to them. Why? What is that parallel? That's the parallel of living a disciplined life, isn't it? It's a disciplined life. And in this disciplined life, as a child of the Most High God, God is bringing us to the place where not only do we ask, but we seek, and we find, and we are obedient to that arena of following what he says to do. Now, in this, there is a place where we are reaching a level of surrender, and it's actually a pathway to maturity. And we're going to talk about fruits, which is a pathway to maturity, so we can reach a level of surrender like we've never reached before. Is everybody with me? Would you turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3? 2 Timothy chapter 3. Now, we've talked about how God's been shaking things, dismantling self. It's amazing. You know, in that area of where we must maintain the fear of the Lord. Maintaining the fear of the Lord is essential, isn't it? Without maintaining the fear of the Lord, you'll get hooked by bait of the enemy easily. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, would you read it with me? But know this, that what? In the last days, perilous times will come. Are we in the last days? So we know perilous times are coming. We know that they're here, aren't they? I mean, hello. If you don't know that perilous times are here, see me afterwards. I'll tell you about them. For men will be lovers of what? I'm sorry, I didn't hear that. Men will be lovers of who? Themselves. Lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanders without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. Turn away. In other words, they are denying the anointing. They are denying the power of God. Are you with me? They have a form of godliness that is a ritual. In other words, they worship and serve rituals. They do not serve the presence of God. They don't serve the anointing. Let's go a little further. For this sort are those who creep into households and ministries and make captives of gullible men and women, loaded down with sins and led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Always learning. In other words, they are growing in knowledge but not maturing. And we glimpsed on this a little bit Sunday, but there needs to be more impartation. There are many who are growing in knowledge but not in maturity. They have a form of godliness, but they now deny the anointing. The end result is a corrupt mind, disapproval of walking in faith, and they will progress no further in faith, and they will become manifested because their disobedience will expose them. Their whole purpose is the promotion of the will of self. They will never reach the level of surrender. They will never reach the level of surrender. Now I want to go to verse 8. And it says, now Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds disapprove concerning the faith, but they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifested to all, and theirs also was. The first fruit in the area of the pathway of maturity is surrender. Surrender. It's one of the first fruits in the pathway of maturity. It's called surrender. See, individuals have an intellectual relationship with knowledge instead of a personal relationship with the Lord. And of course, we know that's the difference between religion and relationship. People that can quote the Bible left and right, but they can't live it. There's a difference. And in this, there are people who are gaining, and the Bible says in the latter days that knowledge will increase. And knowledge is increasing tremendously. Not only worldly knowledge, but there is revelation knowledge that's been brought forth. But there are many people who have a relationship with knowledge. They are growing in knowledge, but they're not maturing. Is everybody okay? Do you get this? It is essential because you're going to see it more and more and more. You're going to see people who can whip you in a second with the Word of God, but their fruits stink. I've seen it, and I see it continuously, and it grieves my spirit. And they say that they know God, and when I walk away, the Lord says, they don't know me. They read about me. They only know me through the letter. They do not know me in spirit. And this is an area where when you and I start coming to the arena in the level of surrender, it is the first fruit of the pathway of maturity. Does everybody understand? Praise God. Let's go a little further. James chapter 1. You know, when you came to the Lord, one of the things you said was, I surrender! Help! You know, and for most people it lasted 5 minutes. But in that area, there's a level of surrender that is maintained. And in that level of surrender that is maintained, it is called the first fruit of the pathway of maturity. In other words, the person doesn't change. The person maintains the level of surrender. James chapter 1, is everybody there in verse 2? I think we've heard this before. My brethren, what? Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. I want you to please understand again. It doesn't say if, it says when. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces what? Patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. An arena of endurance, isn't it? If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in what? Faith, with no what? Doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. An individual that is unstable cannot count it joy when he goes through trials and tribulations, because they are double-minded. They are completely unstable, and they cannot be trusted because they are immature. Has everybody got it? Because they are what? Immature. Even though they might have a lot of knowledge. They could have a lot of knowledge. They could be growing in knowledge, but they may not be mature in spirit. And it's in relationship. 2 Corinthians 3. I mean, this could be taught for days. But we're shortening this, okay? In 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 4, would you read it with me? And we have such what? Trust through Christ toward God. Not that we are sufficient of our what? Selves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit does what? The Spirit gives life. So the letter kills, the intellectual relationship. But the Spirit gives life, a relationship with the Anointed One. The second fruit of the pathway of maturity is called trust. You know an individual that can trust God. You know. Trust. Trust in the Lord. When you get to trusting in the Lord, He can trust you. But He can't trust anybody that can't trust Him. Again, the first fruit of the pathway of maturity is surrender. The second fruit of the pathway of maturity is trust. Trust. In Acts chapter 28, Acts 28, you know, there's so much deception out there right now. It's phenomenal. I mean, it's everywhere you turn. It's just wild. In verse 23, 28, 23, is everybody there? So when they had appointed him, this was Paul, a day many came to him at his lodging, to whom he explained and solemnly tested testified of the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus from both the law of Moses and the prophets, from morning till evening. And some were persuaded by the things which were spoken, and some disbelieved. So when they did not agree among themselves, they departed after Paul had said one word. The Holy Spirit spoke rightly through Isaiah the prophet to our fathers, saying, go to this people and say, hearing they will hear and shall not understand. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should what? Heal them. So that I should what? Heal them. This is so powerful. In this, in other words, Paul is sharing with them, no longer applying the area of what they have seen and what they have heard. See, so many times we hear and we see things according to the wisdom of man. So many times we see and hear things according to the revelation of the Spirit, and yet many times people can't discern the difference. And in this, many people become hard-hearted or dull of hearing. And the reason for that is, of course, immaturity or self-agenda. Everyone say self-agenda. You know, even though somebody knows what is right and what to do, and they know what God told them to do, they play dumb. Duh. They play dumb. And it's not that they play dumb, they become dumb. Because a deaf and dumb spirit jumps on them, because they're cooperating with that spirit now. They actually invite that spirit so that they can make the excuse or justify why they will not do what God is telling them to do. Are you listening? You know, when you make a choice of certain things, you can draw the demons right out of hell to you. That's how they come. They're drawn out. That's why there's so much demonic forces now on the earth. Why? Look at what the TV's doing. Look at what the music's doing. Come on, we're seeing young kids do things that you've never heard of before. There's more gangs. There's more violence. Now there's and there's promotion of racism and all kinds of things that are going on. I had a guy in my class want to know why a man couldn't have six wives today. I said, what? I had to think about it for a minute. No. One's enough, I can tell you that. Praise God. Let's go to the next verse. I love my wife. Praise God. One of the things that always causes a dullness of heart or harden of heart or dullness of hearing and seeing, of course, again, I sharing self-agenda, which is promoted by the spirit of pride. Pride will always bring blindness and deafness. Always. See, pride works with the spirit of deaf and dumb spirit. But even though you know what's right, but choose not to do it, it's because you've invited those spirits to come in. And it originated from the spirit of pride because there's a self-agenda involved. Is everybody okay? Hallelujah. Go to Jeremiah 7. It also hinders the growth of maturity. Pride will always hinder the growth of maturity. It will not hinder the growth of knowledge, but it will hinder the growth of maturity. Jeremiah 7. So what will pride hinder? The growth of maturity, but not the growth of knowledge. You kidding? It loves that you have knowledge. Because it loves to puff itself up. Jeremiah 7, is everybody there? Verse 28. So you shall say to them, this is a what? Nation that does not obey the voice of the Lord their God, nor receive what? Correction. Truth has what? Perished and has been cut off from their what? Mouth. In other words, that's one of the things the enemy wants to do, is cut truth off of your mouth. Why? Because what you confess is what you what? Possess. He wants to cut truth from your mouth. And what it does is it promotes rebellion, which prevents an individual from maturing. It promotes rebellion, which prevents an individual from the pathway of maturity. In Colossians chapter 2, seven fruits, something like that, eight fruits, I don't know, whatever, of the pathway of maturity. Fruits of the pathway of maturity. Colossians chapter 2, is everybody there? In verse 4. Would you read it with me? Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Your good order and steadfastness of faith in Christ. Beautiful. Now in this, the third fruit of the pathway of maturity is the steadfastness in the faith pertaining to divine order. In other words, priorities. Everyone say priorities. An individual pathway of maturity is to start learning and being consistent in the arena of maintaining priorities. Putting things in priority according to God's will. Not according to our will or our agenda. Let's go a little further in verse 6. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so what? Walk in Him. Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him, who is the head of all principality and power. Good order and steadfastness of your faith, which is called trust. In other words, you're trusting in Christ. Built up, established in the faith. Again, the third fruit of the pathway to maturity is to be steadfast in the faith pertaining to divine order or priorities. Maintaining these priorities according to God's will and not according to our own. In other words, we may, when things begin to interfere with the priorities of God, they become idols. They become what? Idols. Idols. And an idol is always attached to an emotional attachment. And the devil will have access to you to every emotional attachment that you're attached to. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Pathway to maturity. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 12. Is everybody there? Would you read it with me? Now we have received not the spirit of the world. Now the spirit of the world promotes immaturity, doesn't it? It loves you to mature in the knowledge of the things of the world, but it doesn't want you to mature in the knowledge of the things of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. One of the things the enemy wants to do is prevent you from maturing in the spirit so he can keep you carnal. Because he knows you don't get the stuff then. Oh, you're always learning, and growing, but never maturing. For they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually what? They are spiritually what? Discerned. The fourth fruit of the pathway to the maturity is called spiritual discernment. And one of the things that we want, the Lord wants us to be able to discern is times, seasons, battles. You know, everybody thinks they need to be in every battle, and God doesn't say be in every battle. You know, some people want to be in your battle. It's just called busybody. Spiritual discernment, the discernment of time, season, battles, the move of the Spirit or the hand of God's movement. You know, one of the things God always wants you to be able to know is the hand of how He's moving, what the Spirit's up to, and the tactics of darkness or the tactics of Satan's kingdoms. In other words, the Spirit also always wants us to be able to discern, you know what, as you're walking in the Spirit, in the spiritual discernment, you will be able to discern what the next move or the tactic of Satan is against you. You will know. The Bible says that the anointing tells us all things to come. We know all things. So if we're really walking in there, we better have spiritual discernment. It is the fourth fruit of the pathway to maturity, is spiritual discernment. Again, it's to discern times and seasons, battles, and the move of the Spirit, and the tactics of the powers of darkness. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3. Let's read it. If anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness, he is what? Proud, knowing nothing. I love this. But is obsessed with the disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, reviling, evil suspicions, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. From such withdraw yourself. You know, in this, we've got to come to an area where a fruit of the pathway of maturity is to be able to expose false knowledge. Does everybody understand that? And to be able to teach the truth. In other words, one of the things that we must be able to do in this, the Bible says depart from evil, doesn't it? The Bible says that we should hate evil. Well, in this pathway of maturity, there's an area where you must withdraw yourself from someone that isn't willing to do what God is asking them to do. Hello. Why is that? Now, it doesn't mean that you're not to be a witness to them. Amen? It doesn't mean that you're to hate them. I mean, even Jesus called Judas friend, but he didn't call him brother. In this, the Bible says that bad company corrupts good habits, doesn't it? So this fruit that should be manifested in me and you is actually to depart from evil. No, I won't have any of that. I won't agree with that and walk away from it. To walk away from it. Don't hang around with people. You know, I've heard so many times that somebody was saying, yeah, well, I went to this guy's house and there was a football party and people were drinking and partying and I went there because God sent me. Oh, no, he didn't. You got yourself a deaf and dumb spirit and began to justify. Because he didn't call it 2 days later and say, come get me. Depart from evil. Withdraw from individuals that are not. Why? Because if you promote them, if you say that it's okay what they're doing, you'll be judged the same way they will. And that is sure not a sign of maturity, is it? So we're to be exposing these things. Is everybody okay? 1 Corinthians 4. Withdraw yourself. See, so many times people want to just ignore what God is saying and try to prove their agenda. And it gets them in trouble. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 1. Is everybody there? Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the what? Mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that they be found what? Faithful. Faithful. But with me, it's very small thing that I should be judged by you or by a human court. In fact, I do not judge myself. For I know of nothing against myself, yet I am not justified by this, but he who judges me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the hearts. Then each one's praise will come from God. So we see here that we must be found to be what? Faithful stewards. Faithful stewards. Faithful what? Stewards. Faithful stewards of God's money. That's a fruit of maturity. What you do with your money, man. Faithful stewards of the mysteries of God. And a faithful steward is something very important. He is consistent. He's what? Consistent. He or she is consistent. Everybody say consistent. Go to Psalm 15. So the sixth fruit is to be faithful steward. Psalm 15, let's read it together. Verse 1, Lord, who may abide in your what? Tabernacle, and who may dwell on your holy hill? He who walks what? Uprightly, and works righteousness, and speaks the truth in his heart. He who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend. He whose eyes a vile person is what? Despised. But he honors those who fear the Lord. And he who swears to his own hurt and does not change. He who does not put out his money at usury, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved. Never be what? Moved. Never be moved. See, that is a pathway to maturity. It's an area where we come to a level of complete surrender where we are not moved by anything. We're not moved by anything. We stand the course. We stay. The enemy cannot bribe you. He cannot bribe you. I see many believers get bribed. They get bribed for the things of the world. They exchange the things of God for the things of the world. That is a sure sign of immaturity. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 6. However, we speak wisdom among those who are what? Mature. Yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. We're seeing that happen right before our eyes. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. Yes. In other words, in this arena, the mature, they receive the wisdom from above. Again, the world seeks the wisdom from below. In 1 Kings 17. 1 Kings 17 and verse 8. Would you read this with me? Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, verse 8, Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. Now there was a huge famine, and he's speaking to Elijah. And so he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, Please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. And she responded, and as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, Please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. And so she turned around and she said, As the Lord your God lives, I don't have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin. He was calling those things that are not as though they are. Do you understand that? and a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare for myself and my son that we may eat it and die. I'd say Elijah kind of like got a casual rebuke. Man, can't you see this, man? You want me to bring you bread? I didn't even make bread yet. There's a little bit left for me and my son. We are in a famine. Now, didn't the Lord tell him that somebody was there waiting for him to provide? Hello. You know how many people would have got there and said, oh, God, I did the wrong thing, and taken off? But Elijah submitted and he obeyed what God said. He didn't try to figure it out, calculate it out, nor did he ask. He went and he did. Has everybody got it? Now, don't hear this woman, man. She's thinking, man, what, you crazy? I got enough for me and my son. We're going to die today. And you want me to cook you breakfast? And Elijah said to her, do not fear. Go and do as you have said. Now he brings it to another level of death. But make me a small cake from it first. So we went from bread to cake. And bring it to me. And afterward, make some for yourself and your son. Now, come on. If something would have happened like that today, that dude would have been knocked out. And his pockets probably picked. But in this, Elijah was obedient. And when he told the woman, don't be afraid, something happened in her. She believed him. Now, it looks ridiculous in the natural eye. Because Elijah was not looking naturally, he was looking supernaturally. He was not looking at what man could do. He was looking at what God was about to do because he saw it already. But there was something that had to happen. Now, verse 14. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. So when she went away and did according to the word of Elijah, she and he and her household ate for many days until it rained. So in this, there's something that Elijah did, which is very important, and is the seventh fruit of the pathway to maturity, and it's to maintain kingdom principles. Elijah was maintaining the kingdom principle of sowing and reaping. What the woman had to do first is give to him to sow into the kingdom so she could reap. And many people get so lost in this because they get so caught up in their agenda and their need that even during famines, they begin to hold back the things that are due to God. And they wonder why that God isn't filling their jars to overflowing. Does everybody understand? Or meeting their needs. Maintaining divine kingdom principles by sowing and reaping. This was divine compassion. This is not soulish compassion, because soulish compassion in this would have been, well, go ahead, you just go ahead and do it. We'd have called that self-sacrifice. And I can't believe that this would be God to tell me that this woman is gonna die with her son, and I'm asking her to make me a cake. See, soulish compassion would have said, go for it. Don't give me nothing. I can't obey God in this. Something's not right. See, the soulish emotional thing will always move people out of position. It wasn't about a soulish compassion. It was about a divine compassion. God loved her so much that he shared with her, listen, don't be afraid. Sow into the kingdom. Maintain this kingdom principle. And I'm going to sustain you and your son. And then it's going to rain and you're going to live. Why, many people will die. Because many people died during that famine. Does everybody understand it? And I think that was the seventh fruit, was it? It was to maintain kingdom principles. And that's sowing and reaping. It's a divine compassion. Obeys without question. It obeys without what? Question. When God says do it, just do it. Because by the time you get the answer, he got somebody else to do it. And you missed the blessing. 1 Corinthians 14. Pathway to maturity. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 20. Would you read it with me? Brethren, do not be what? Children or immature in understanding. However, in malice be babes, but in understanding be what? Mature. In other words, God is trying to bring us out of the childish things, out of the childish things, into the arena of maturity, the pathway. Because he can't trust someone that can't trust him. See, trust is earned and freedom is learned. So as the more you're obedient in the things of God, now was Elijah obedient? Yeah. The more you're obedient in the things of God, the more God can trust you. The more you question him and reason and justify why God should do this or shouldn't do that, the more he can't trust you. And you're not maturing. People backslide in maturity. They start off right, they begin walking in the Spirit, and they backslide from walking in the pathway of maturity and go into, they begin to mature more carnally than spiritually. That's called backsliding. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5. Would you read it with me? In this, the message which we have heard from him and declare to you that God is light and in him is no darkness or deception. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. See, that's a difference in an area of practicing truth or practicing deception. Many people are growing in knowledge, but not maturing. So they can't practice the truth. They can speak it, but they can't walk it. And it is important that we come to that arena and the levels of surrender so that we can walk the pathway of maturity, because God is doing a quick move in raising up his children quickly, very, very quickly. 1 John chapter 5. Is everybody there? Come on, you only had around a corner to go. Verse 18. Let's read it. We know that whoever is born of God does not sin, but he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does what? Not touch him. That state of being born again, maintaining that. We know that if we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, and in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Keep yourselves from idols. Why? Those are open doors to the wicked one. Go to John chapter 15. The Bible says, make no place for the devil. John 15. So do you think that submission to your elders would be a way of expressing maturity and honoring those who rule over you? Amen. John 15, is everybody there? Oh, yes. Verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my what? Disciples. Be my what? Disciples. So God desires that we bear much fruit. And in this we're talking about the fruits that are a pathway to maturity. Go to Galatians 5. Galatians chapter 5. In verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. Joy. Peace. Long-suffering. Kindness. Goodness. Faithfulness. Gentleness. Self-control. Not control of others. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its what? Passions, those carnal passions. Those soulish passions. Those wicked passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit, and let us not become what? Conceited, provoking one another, or envying one another. Whoa. Let's go to James 1. James chapter 1. Are we on the eighth fruit now? I lost my fruits. If you can read my notes. Well, I can't read my notes, so you can't read them. And the Holy Spirit's changing things as we're going along, so hallelujah. James chapter 1, and verse 25. Would you read it with me, please? But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. If any among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Now, I'd have to say that the eighth fruit is dominion over the tongue. Dominion over the tongue. Eight meaning new beginnings. Dominion over the tongue. Ephesians 5, verse 1. Let's read it. Therefore be what? Imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanliness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, or covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not be partakers with them. Verse 11. Would you read it? And have what? No fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather what? Expose them. So we're to be imitators of God and exposers of evil, aren't we? And I want to close at 1 Corinthians 6. Like I said, we could go on and on and on with the pathway, fruits of the pathway to maturity. But these were what was put on my heart, an area that we need to be recognizing in our life is walking in a pathway of maturity. And I can only share with you that consistency is essential. to be consistent in every area, to see that these fruits are being manifested in your life. And 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19, would you read it with me? Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And in this, it is important that through this pathway of maturity, we come to a place where we allow God divine ownership of your life. This is where divine ownership of your life. Again, we go back to the arena where we've said, Lord, I give you my life. You are my Lord and my Savior, but yet people still fight for the life. This is an area where these fruits will be manifested in your life when you've given them true ownership. True ownership. Remember, it's about His agenda, not yours. These fruits you will see manifest. These are fruits of the pathway of maturity. Again, many people can have a lot of knowledge, but never mature. Because maturity is an area where it not only becomes a part of your life, it is your life. You live it, you practice it. It's no longer a question. It's no longer a choice or an option to go any other way. It's over with. There is no choice. There is no option. None. Not to go back to the world or even consider it. None. A person is steadfast, unmovable. An area where the Spirit is the one who brings you to maturity. So your cooperation with the Holy Spirit, your mentor, will bring you to maturity. He will bring you on the pathway of maturity, and these fruits will begin to manifest. And if they're not, then it's time to get on the path. It's time to lay down your agenda, your will, your desires. It's time to come out from among them and be separate. It's time to allow divine ownership of your life to be taken place. It's time. Because God is mobilizing His army. And He's mobilizing and positioning His army. And He will not place those He can't trust. He can't. And the Holy Spirit is not a babysitter. He's a mentor. If you don't want to cooperate with Him, He'll just let you go. It's training for reigning. We are not doing things in Christ to gain a life. We're doing things in Christ to lose the old life so His life can be manifested. Don't fight for your life. Fight for His presence, which will maintain His life in you. Let God be God, and you be His sons and daughters. Stop trying to build your house and let Him build it. Time is too short to play games. Time is too short to compromise, justify, or reason. Time is too short, and there is a huge battle. And God is strategically placing us in this battle. The victory's already been done. But those who are not in the battle will become casualties. Don't go home before your time. Walk in the pathway of maturity and walk the full life that is predestined for you. But there is a time and season coming where many will begin to go home. Through sickness, disease, all kinds of things. Because they've walked out of that path. Better to go home than go to hell. Time is short, and it is time. Please, I encourage you, search yourself, examine yourself, Where are your fruits? Are they associated with the pathway of maturity? Or are they associated with the pathway of death? Everyone has a choice. Amen? Let's lift our hands to heaven. Father, we give you glory, honor, and praise, and we thank you, Master. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your forgiveness. We thank you for the seal of the Holy Spirit and the price of Christ, Jesus, on the cross for each and every one. Lord, we want all. We want it all, the price you paid for us. Continue to visit us, fill us, establish us, position us, and empower us that we may be about your business. Keep us, Holy Spirit, on the pathway of maturity, and we begin to sway. Just kick us in the butt, pop us in the head, do something that we know we're drifting. And we promise to give you, Jesus, all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Hallelujah. Come on, I'll lift it up. Yeah.